Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
It's going down right here.
Well, yeah.
Good morning, fantasy players. It's Fantasy Sports Today. Dane Martinez and the King, Scott Engel, breaking down what we saw in Week 14. It is the playoffs for some of you. Someone out there lost because of the Miami Miracle. Somebody out there lost Miami Miracle because of a pass to Kenny Stills. Someone out there lost because of a touchdown to Kenyon Drake. Someone out there lost because of missed field goals by Chris Boswell. Someone out there lost because of final interceptions, the like fourth pick that the Chicago Bears defense had last night. Some of you lost because Juju Smith-Schuster took a lateral down the sidelines. We're going to break it all down and tell you how to keep on progressing to win your leagues and win that cash. Scotty, a lot of craziness in the NFL yesterday, I would say, from the laterals to some of the just straight up bad coaching decisions that were really made all across the NFL.
Yeah, you know, it was just a crazy day, you know, that fantasy wise too. When you look at some of the guys that scored yesterday, Brandon Bolden, Zach Center, you know, guys like that. James Devlin, you know, another touchdown. James Devlin has 6 carries this year, and 4 of them have gone for touchdowns.
Yeah, it's like he's Jerome Bettis.
Yeah, well, not even that. It's more like he's like Tommy Vardell.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. Let me tell you something. I was talking about the Patriots, how they made a couple of mistakes. I want to get into some other games here where, be quite honest, there were some mistakes. The first thing I want to talk about is the Cleveland Browns getting a W to go to 5-7-1 on the season, continuing the slide for the Carolina Panthers. They get a 26-20 win. And, Scotty, what if I tell you that in a playoff matchup, I was facing Christian McCaffrey and Jarvis Landry in this game, and it seemed like they made up the entire production?
Yeah, you know, sometimes that happens. You know, maybe there are some people
I'm sure
went against Saquon Barkley and Amari Cooper.
Yeah, absolutely. So I digress here. Christian McCaffrey continues his stellar season, 63 yards on the ground and 2 touchdowns. He adds another 6 catches for 38 yards. He gets you the 100 scrimmage yards, 2 touchdowns. I mean, this guy, I continue to lobby, Scott, as you know, for him to be a PPR top 5 pick, you know, in next year's kind of draft. But that's on one side. On the other side, we had a Jarvis Landry sighting. Scott, Jarvis Landry ran for a touchdown, caught a touchdown, and then tried to have the cherry on top by throwing for a touchdown. That didn't work out for him, though.
No, but he's had 2 strong weeks in a row, and he's kind of reviving fantasy confidence in him at a very key time of the fantasy schedule. You know, this is Landry was great down the stretch. You know, he helped me win the GST championship last year, so it's good to see him. You know, Baker Mayfield is playing very, very well. He's only had 2 touchdown passes in his last 2 weeks. But, you know, he's really sparked this offense.
Yep, absolutely. You talk about how Jarvis Landry is, like, you know, getting back on the radar. But can you really trust any of these Browns pass catchers, Scott? I mean, you know, at different points of the season, we've talked about Landry. We've talked about Njoku as a streaming tight end. He only goes 3 for 35. We talked about Duke Johnson, and he had, like, a 3-week emergence. But he gets squadouche in the passing game, negative 6 yards in the run game. You know, like, where are you going to for dependability in Cleveland, Scott?
You're not, really, except other than Nick Chubb. You know, Jarvis Landry's only scored 3 touchdowns this season, kind of harkens his Miami days, but he was even more productive as a pass catcher in his Miami days. Mayfield, you know, he's somebody I think you could consider for regular starting consideration. But David Njoku, you know, this guy's overrated. Yep. You know, we're looking at his game log, you know, only once in his past 6 games has he got into double-figure fantasy points, and only one he hasn't scored in 5 of his last 6 games. PPR, he has not scored more than 7 fantasy points in 5 of 6 games. Is David Njoku really a fantasy starter? His numbers say no.
Absolutely, and that's reinforced with only 3 for 35. You can get that floor pretty much anywhere. You could throw a random dart at the tight end position and probably get those same 3 to 6 points on a weekly basis. Remember,
got it from Lee Smith yesterday.
There you go. You could have gotten it from Ian Thomas, who more than that from Ian Thomas. He goes 9 for 77. I want to ask you about that, Scotty, because he was a guy who you've mentioned in the past that the Panthers like him as a rookie. He sort of felt below the line of a guy that we thought would actually be someone you could start on in your fantasy playoffs, I would say. But remember, Scotty, they continue to evolve. I've been making this point all season long. Cam didn't have a good game, okay? He throws a pick, only 265 yards. You know, he has the 23 rushing yards, 26 of 42. But my thesis about these Panthers have remained the same. I know Greg Olsen is done. I know Funchess is banged up. But they are now moving to these more shake-and-bake kind of guys. Curtis Samuel, 4 for 80. DJ Moore, 5 for 67. Right as well. McCaffrey, obviously. Talk to me. Is Ian Thomas more of a athletic tight end than Greg Olsen?
Yeah, he's like one of those former basketball players.
There you go, exactly.
I believe. And Cam was looking in his way in the preseason when he got some opportunities to play with him. And it wasn't just this week. You know, last week, 5 catches for 46 yards. He got you almost 10 points last week. And they play New Orleans and Atlanta coming up. So I think Ian Thomas is somebody got to look at. Right now, he's only owned in 25.5% of ESPN leagues. I'd rather start Ian Thomas than David Njoku or Kyle Rudolph.
Yep, absolutely. I was going to ask you about some of that. Like, for example, Jordan Reed also left the game for Washington, right? So if you were trying to have some of these other guys, Ian Thomas, are you saying, Scott, like, I mean, it's going into week 15. So when we talk tomorrow about the waiver wire, I think it's going to be slim pickings. There's not going to be many people we are going to look to target. Might Ian Thomas be like the only kind of really viable tight end ad?
I think so. You know, there were no other tight ends that really showed us anything last night. I mean, obviously, the Dallas tight ends looking good, but there's been no track record for that. With Ian Thomas, you know, they drafted this guy. They were kind of high on him, and now he's getting an opportunity to play here. And you know, they'll look for him as a big body over the middle, I think.
Yep, absolutely. I told you there were a lot of mistakes that were made in football around the NFL. I want to get your take on this one. I want to, you know, Scotty, like, it's almost like on a scale of 1 to 10. Like, how bad was it to put Gronk at deep safety? How bad was it for Brady to take the sack and run out the clock at the end of the first half? How about this one, Scotty? I don't know if you saw this, but when let's see, where was it exactly in the game? Okay, the Browns score to go up 23-20 in the fourth quarter with 13 minutes left to go. Nick Chubb runs for the 4-yard touchdown, okay? They line up for the extra point, Scott. They hit the extra point. And then there's a flag on it. I think it was like offsides or something like that. The Browns brain trust, you know, Greg Williams and his imminent intelligence, decides to take the penalty, which takes the point off the board. And then they re-kick, and Joseph misses the extra point. I can understand if you want to take that penalty to move it up to the 1-yard line and then go for two, but they took the extra point off the board just to re-kick the extra point, Scott, and then they missed the extra point. How stupid is that on the scale of 1 to 10? Is that even worse than putting Gronk back at single safety?
That's like a 20. I don't get
it. Yeah,
that.
Right? That's ridiculous. Like,
yeah,
what are you doing? If, like, it's completely fine, Scott, if after the penalty, they decide they want to go for two, okay, and do it from the 1-yard line instead of the two. That is fine. But for them to then just kick it again, take a point off, and then he missed the extra point. To me, that's pretty high up on the brain farts of all the coaches here in week 14. Would you agree?
Yeah, that was baffling.
It was. All right, let's go to another game, Scott. And here's my thing, okay? Aaron Rodgers, you know, is free of Mike McCarthy. There was a lot of reports about that their relationship has soured and a lot of reports that Aaron Rodgers wanted to come out and kind of, I don't know, for lack of a better term, prove himself, right? And I was expecting a big output from the Packers in this one. They get a 34-20 win against the Atlanta Falcons. Rodgers only throws for 196 yards, does have the 2 touchdowns. Aaron Jones is there, and then in the pass game, listen, Devontae Adams gets a touchdown. Randall Cobb with one of his best efforts of the season. Do you think this was like a Aaron Rodgers, like, stick-it-to-the-world kind of game, Scott?
Not really. I mean, okay. The numbers were much different than what we've seen. But, you know, he played a really good first half. For some reason, Aaron Jones didn't start. They started Jamal Williams, but
Only in the nominal word, right?
I don't think there's Aaron Rodgers sticking to the world. It's not like he had four touchdowns and they blew him out or something like that.
They scored 34 points.
They did score 34 points, but what were Rodgers' numbers?
No, they weren't amazing. 21-32, only 196 yards, two touchdowns, no picks. He did also run, that's Aaron Rodgers, for 44
yards. One non-playoff team beat another non-playoff team. You know, there's no major story here. He didn't have a spectacular game yesterday, and, you know, he still doesn't have any wide receivers that he could, or pass catchers that he can trust outside of Davante Adams. So what has really changed?
I don't know. Are you encouraged by the return, really, of to viability of Randall Cobb, potentially?
He had a touchdown, but the yardage numbers weren't spectacular.
Yeah, and PPR, he gets you 16, 17 points. I'm okay with that as a wide receiver three.
I wouldn't trust Randall Cobb. He did have a lot of yardage, and he wasn't playing well before he got hurt. Okay. I wouldn't want to start Randall Cobb in the fantasy playoffs based on one decent game.
All right, and on the other side in Atlanta, Ito Smith is the leading rusher with 60 yards. Tevin Coleman, only 10 for 45. We've talked about this a lot. Those running backs had an opportunity when Devontae Freeman went down, and they just have not done it. The other thing, listen, Scotty, Julio Jones.
Coleman really hasn't done it, though. It's how much of a chance has Smith gotten really over the last 2 weeks, and maybe they're trying to give him a longer look because they know Coleman's not going to be back.
They do have,
but then again, at 5'9" and 195, he's not cut out to be a workhorse. It could be a timeshare between Ito Smith and Devonta Freeman next year.
Yeah, but Devonta Freeman is also clearly, Scott, not cut out to be a workhorse either.
Right, that's what I just said. It could be a timeshare next year between Ito Smith and Devonta Freeman.
We shall see. We shall see. Julio Jones gets into the end zone not once but twice, Scott. You know, at the end of the season, it's going to look like he didn't have this kind of touchdown issue for the first half.
Yeah, he's got five in his last five games in his first touchdown game of the season. So it's nice to see that. He only had three going into yesterday. Like, you know, we talked about the numbers, me and Mike Blewett, and he's like, okay, you're going to point out the one negative. I guess from a fantasy perspective, it certainly is. But he's getting in the end zone more frequently. It's what you want to see as you head towards your fantasy football championship.
Yep, I got another mistake to bounce off of you, Scott, in this game. I don't know if you saw this, because if it was past like 110 and you weren't settled in, you didn't see this. But, you know, Joe Philbin is the kind of like interim head coach there, right? He's been a head coach of the Dolphins. He's been there in Green Bay before. Did you see this, Scotty, literally in the first minute and a half of the game? Do you know what I'm going to say?
No, I'll be about to find out.
Fair enough, fair enough. Tell me where this... you know, mistake rates on all of our head coaches' mistakes so far this week. Scott, literally in the first 90 seconds of the game, the first play, like Julio Jones catches something on the sideline.
Philbin doesn't think it's a catch. He challenges it.
Literally like three plays later, with literally more than 13 minutes left in the first quarter, he challenges another Julio Jones catch. Doesn't get that one overturned. The man is then done with challenges for the rest of the game 90 seconds in. Where does that rate around the mistakes that head coaches made yesterday?
It's got to rank up there, but it's definitely behind the Miami Miracle for sure.
I'm saying.
But look, Joe Philbin was not a good head coach with the Dolphins, no shock here.
I know, but it's just, you know, I think that's a little bit weird. You don't use both of your challenges so early against a guy like Julio Jones. I just think it was interesting. Hey, Scott, by the way, you know I've been keeping tabs on a certain amount of things here, kind of gentlemen's bets that we've been tracking. Mohamed Sanu, 6 for 54. Austin Hooper, 4 for 37. Calvin Ridley, 1 for 10. So Sanu gains a little bit in that. I think you still have a little bit of a lead, but it's very, very close, Scotty, between Mohamed Sanu and Austin Hooper. For the rest of the season.
All three of those guys have been mediocre, and you want to start none of them right now.
I think that is probably a fair
statement. I can win it, but my beginning point at the beginning of the year was Mohamed Sanu is a mediocre fantasy player, and he's still been a mediocre fantasy player.
I would say that is fair. You know who else is a mediocre team right now, despite their record? I mean, I think they're worse than mediocre, despite their mediocre record. It's the Washington football team, Scott. They get dump trucked by Saquon Barkley. It looked like they were not interested.
Mediocre is nice.
Well, their record is mediocre. What we see as the product on the field, because they've lost two quarterbacks, they've lost their offensive linemen. Many of their skill position players have not been playing all season long, and this Washington team is toast, in my opinion. The Giants rise up and get a 40-16 win. Saquon Barkley could not be stopped. 14 carries, 170 yards, and a touchdown. He also gets you four catches in the passing game as well. Saquon continues to live up to the billing, Scott.
Yeah, he certainly does. And could you make a case that he could be the number one pick in fantasy football next year?
It's possible.
Is he the best running back in football? He has more breakaway ability than Ezekiel Elliott does. I think he has more breakaway ability than Todd Gurley does.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is very possible that Saquon could be the number one overall pick. I would need to know, for example, I would need to know the answers to a couple of questions, though, Scott. I would need to know the answer to, like, who is the quarterback for the Giants? I would need to know, like, what team is Le'Veon Bell on? You know, there are some things like that I would need to know to fully form my opinion on who the number one
does
overall
pick. Does it matter who's the quarterback for the Giants is? Eli
yes.
Manning's been mediocre this year, and Saquon Barkley's still putting up monster numbers.
Sure. It matters what team Le'Veon Bell is on next year, though, that in that scenario. It complicates things.
Le'Veon Bell's missed a full year, too. I'll take Saquon Barkley instead.
Interesting. All right. Fair enough. And talk to me. Who are the Washington football team going to take at quarterback? It looks like they're going to go with Johnson moving forward, huh, Scotty?
Yeah, but he had a pretty decent game yesterday in relief, but this guy's basically come off the street. And I will say, you know, they really don't know what to expect from him. They didn't prepare for him, and it didn't matter. I think next week you certainly stream against him.
I like that. Yeah, listen, remember, I've been talking about that, fading them all year long, especially since these injuries. I have doubled up, and, you know, I grabbed the Tennessee Titans defense, mostly because they play the Washington football team, Scotty, in week 16. So when my championships are on the line, I want the Titans defense against this Washington football team. I got ahead of that. Last question for you, Scott. Do you think Kyle Laletta is going to see more snaps in the next couple of weeks?
That's hard to predict. I really can't make an estimation on that. You know, it's, you know, look how they want to treat Eli Manning with some respect. It's
right.
But the only reason it's going to matter is maybe you want to stream defenses against the Giants.
Well, let's say you have a guy like Odell Beckham, Scott, and you're going into your Week 16 matchup. I think it doesn't impact Saquon as much, to your previous point. But if you had Odell Beckham, and I know he missed this game, right, obviously with the quad, I believe it was, like, does it matter to you if it's Laletta or Eli Manning? I think it would.
Why would it? We can't assume Kyle Laletta is going to be any worse than Eli Manning. Maybe he could be better.
Maybe, but we say this all the time with, like, what
we
it
don't
meant
know.
For the Chicago Bears
commodity.
When they went to Chase Daniel, you know, instead of Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah, but Chase Daniel is a career journeyman.
We downgraded Bengals when they went to Jeff Driscoll.
Jeff Driscoll's got no pedigree at all. You know, Kyle.
So you're saying you expect more out of Laletta?
All I would say is that we can't assume Laletta's going to suck necessarily or be any worse. He's unproven. We don't know what we're going to get with Kyle Laletta.
All right, well, something to keep an eye on, though. I think there will be some level of impact. What it is, we'd have to wait and see. But it'd be very interesting to see if the Giants decide to see what they have in a way that they did not do last year. We shall see. We shall see. When we come back, there are more games to discuss. Week 14 is almost done. We'll talk about Monday Night Football as well. Come on back. It's FST.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Fantasy Sports Today here on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Dane Martinez and the King, Scott Angle, taking you through what we saw yesterday and what it means for you moving forward as you try and win your leagues and win that cash. Scott, you also got to let people know the DailyRoto.com NBA Lineup Optimizer is now available. That means you can use the same tools and projections that DailyRoto.com NFL subscribers are using
for NBA contests as well. DailyRoto.com has produced 7 separate FanDuel and DraftKings million-dollar tournament winners and millions more in cumulative prizes. If you're playing DFS and you're not using the DailyRoto tools, projections, optimizers, you're doing it wrong. You're at a competitive disadvantage. Go to DailyRoto.com, click on the Go Premium tab, enter the promo code FNTSY for a special discount, and start winning today. That's DailyRoto.com. Click on the Go Premium tab, enter the promo code FNTSY for a special discount. Scotty, we were talking about some of these games. We were talking about Lamar Jackson, right, earlier, and how, like, he's a dynamic playmaker on one of these defensive teams. We talked about Zeke Elliott, Tariq Cohen, stuff like that. I'm not trying to say that this next team is a defensive team or in any way, shape, or form is good. But the Buffalo Bills have a playmaker in their quarterback, Josh Allen, Scott. I watched it, and he was ripping off 15, 20-yard runs like it was nobody's business, and everybody knew it was going to happen anyway. Doesn't have a great game, okay? 18 for 36, 206 yards, 2 picks. The Bills lose the game. He threw some, like, you know, throwing across his body right into the middle of the field. Prototypical rookie mistakes, okay? I will give you that. But Scotty, the man, for fantasy purposes at least, another 101 yards on the ground and a touchdown with his legs. This guy has literally, he's literally something like the third leading rusher in the NFL over the last month.
Yeah, 2 100-yard games in a row now for Josh Allen. And you know, Robert Foster has now had 3 90-yard games in his last 4 starts. You know, so if there's somebody I think you got to pick up and take a flyer on. If he has one more good game, or you know, you're having trouble as a number 3 wide receiver, you got in the playoffs, in depth in larger leagues, you got to take the kid seriously. You know, he's played 4 games. They activate him off the practice squad. He's got 90 yards in 3 of those 4 games, and Josh Allen can throw downfield. You know, that said, he didn't have a great game because, you know, the passing totals weren't good yesterday. No touchdowns, 2 interceptions. So that's going to drag him down, and I think keep him from being a fantasy starter because, you know, that's going to hurt his ceiling with how he turns the ball over.
Yeah, but the 101 yards on the ground more than make up for the 2 interceptions, Scott.
Not really. When you look at the passing yards from yesterday, they weren't good. The passing numbers, they just weren't good yesterday. And I think that kept them under 20 points. And
yeah. But here's the thing, right? 2 interceptions in most formats is minus 4. 101 yards rushing.
He also had a fumble.
Minus 6.
He's got 5 turnovers over in his last 2 games.
Even if he turned the ball over 3 times, that's minus 6. His 101 rushing yards is 10 points. So that's another 4 points. That's another 100 passing yards you can add on to his passing yards.
Look, he didn't have a terrible game yesterday, but I don't think you can count on him to post consistent passing numbers. Yeah. And, you know, that's, I think, that keeps him from being, like, a regular starter. I think he's a stream. And, you know, we've seen it over the last 3 weeks that the rushing numbers have certainly, you know, boosted him, but he didn't throw a single touchdown pass yesterday either.
Yep, that's fair. That's fair. Zay Jones, who a lot of people thought was going to start to grow an opportunity after the Kelvin Benjamin news, he defecates the mattress, only 3 for 22.
Yeah, we talk about guys, rookie wide receivers being inconsistent. Second-year wide receivers, it applies to them too. They're still young guys.
Absolutely. Anybody? Hey, let me ask you something. Isaiah Crowell, I think, went down in this game. Is Elijah McGuire someone you're going to target on the waiver wire?
No, because I've seen him get the opportunity before and do nothing with it.
Okay. Even if there's no Bilal Powell, no you know, Crowell at all, he's been in a kind of timeshare. He might have a, you know, he might be in a 65-34 share with his side looking good.
I've never seen him do it when he's got an opportunity to step up, and this late in the fantasy season in the playoffs, right, I'm not going to take a chance on starting him. Now, I will pick him up and, you know, see if he does well next week, but he's not going in my lineup yet. He's got to prove it. Opportunity doesn't always lead to production. Could he turn out to be another Peyton Barber? I don't know.
Okay, fair enough. And hey, interesting you do, in fact, bring up Peyton Barber. That's the next place I was going to go. And listen, Scotty, Peyton Barber had run off like a decent month that I was telling you about, right? I was updating you all the time with Peyton Barber. And he turned into a pumpkin a little bit when you needed him in the playoffs. He only goes 14 carries, 42 yards. The Tampa Bay Bucks go down 28-14 in a game that was interesting, Scott. It for about 3 quarters, Scott, It looked like one of those prototypical good team comes into the long grass and the weather in Tampa and doesn't perform as strong, but then the Saints kind of snapped out of it, woke up, and got themselves a 28-14 win. Now to they're both 11-2, along with the Rams, kind of tied atop the NFC. Obviously, they have the tiebreaker as well. But Drew Brees, 201 yards, a touchdown, and a really bad interception. I don't know if you saw that throw. I thought it was a bad interception.
Yeah, that looks Sam Darnold-like.
It did. But, everybody else, for the most part, got what you needed. Mark Ingram starting to really tote the rock there. He gets in the end zone. Kamara only 51 yards on the ground and only 36 in the air, but he does get the 5 catches. I started him in our Greenwich Street Tavern League. I got like 13 or 14 points. Not what I wanted, but didn't completely defecate the mattress. Michael Thomas continues his season. Doesn't get in the end zone, but does add another 11 catches to his total.
Yeah, Thomas was great yesterday, but this offense was underwhelming for like the first half of the first 2.5 quarters, and then they just busted out. But the defense played really good. This is maybe the most dependable fantasy defense right now. That's 5 consecutive double-figure performances by their defense. The Saints are playing a very good defense right now. They have not allowed more than 17 points in 5 consecutive weeks. It was a disappointing day for Tampa Bay. Vegas did not get this one right. It was lower scoring than we expected.
It was, and I remember, I think you had the over in this one, Scotty, as well. I think that was your only loss this week, Scotty, I think. Yeah, you had Baltimore correct, you had Miami correct, you had the over in this game, but you had a good week. You won 2 out of your 3 picks. I did not. The only one I had was the Cincinnati. I had Cincinnati plus the 14.5 in our picks. We'll update those later on this week. Let me ask you, though, Scotty, on the Tampa side, we've been talking about Chris Godwin. 1 for 13. We've been talking about, and also I was talking about Cameron Brate. He only gets 2 catches. Both of them, however, Scotty, were in the end zone. So you'll take the 2 touchdowns and make America Brate again.
Yeah, it's that's what Cameron Brate does when he plays with Jameis Winston. He's like his goal line back even more than Peyton Barber, it seems. And, with Chris Godwin, that's the danger that we've seen this season, that we've seen good performances and we've seen bad performances. All of those guys were disappointing. Winston was disappointing. And that's the problem with these Tampa Bay quarterbacks and wide receivers is that, they have a low floor. Even a lower floor than Ryan Fitzpatrick is in there. But, Jameis Winston was my 5th-ranked quarterback yesterday. And, I can't tell you I felt 100% comfortable about it. I always worry about the floor with the Tampa Bay offense, because I know that any given week they could put up a stinker.
Yeah, that's true. The 47 rushing yards, though, are nice.
Yeah, it certainly helped his outlook, but I think you expected a lot more. You expected a lot more from Kamara in a matchup like this, too. I think it was very disappointing all around, except for Michael Thomas and the Saints' defense.
Absolutely. A couple more games to dive into, Scotty, unless you have anything else on this one.
No, pretty much don't.
Cool. So the next game, Scotty, I want to talk about is the San Francisco 49ers getting their 3rd win over the season against the Broncos team, who I was starting to get excited about. I thought they were playing a little bit better, but listen, they lose Chris Harris on the defensive side. They lose Manny Sanders on the offensive side, and it had an impact. But in this game, we can start nowhere else than another tight end we may have to consider. I'm considering above Rob Gronkowski next year. I'm talking about George Kittle, who has 7 catches for 210 yards and a touchdown. And Scotty, he did it all in the first half.
Yeah, it's just tremendous, tremendous. I thought he was going to go for 300.
I did too.
Our regular listener, Don Osborne, out of the Seattle area, my friend, very excited about the victory this morning because, diehard 49ers fan there. But thanks for posting it to us on Twitter this morning.
Saw that,
this Nick Mullins has had 2 consecutive good weeks here. His play's been up and down overall, but he's getting it done for fantasy purposes. Kittle has been fantastic. Josh Wilson Jr. wasn't a factor in the passing game at all, but he did give you some volume in the run game there. So, he's clearly the number one back there right now. And it was kind of surprising on the other end just because the San Francisco pass defense is so bad, but they weren't able to take full advantage. Cortland Sutton defecated the mattress.
Yeah.
You got to be careful with these rookies.
Look at you using my terms, Scotty.
Yeah, 2 catches for 14 yards. And you know, sometimes these guys can't step up with more opportunity. You know, we saw Deshaun Hamilton get in the end zone, but the receiving numbers weren't great. It was interesting to me how Tim Patrick was all of a sudden really involved in the game and getting targeted often. If I'm going to pick up somebody from Denver, it might be Patrick.
Okay, that is where I was going to go with this. I was going to ask you, because we all thought Cortland Sutton was going to be the guy, right? But it turns out that Patrick and Deshaun Hamilton each get 7 catches apiece. It looks to me, correct me if I'm wrong, Scotty, it looks to me like Hamilton is the slot kind of guy and Patrick is the more outside kind of guy.
I think when you look at it from a fantasy purpose, it could be either Hamilton or Sutton in every given week. But the way that Keenum was looking for Patrick on key downs, I think that's going to be his go-to guy.
All right, would you take Patrick right now? Let's say somehow you lost the wide receiver that you need. I don't know who that would be necessarily, right? Let's say we get bad word on Tyreek Hill or something like that. I don't know. Let's say you're in a position where you need a wide receiver. Are you taking Foster from Buffalo or one of these Denver wideouts?
I'll probably go with Tim Patrick at the top of my list.
You take Patrick. It would go like Patrick, then Foster, then Deshaun?
I would probably go Patrick, then after that, I'd probably go Foster, because I feel like the other two Denver wideouts are going to cancel each other out in some weeks.
Interesting. No, I hear you. And then talk to me about Jeff Wilson Jr. over here. Do we expect this to continue? Is he going to be the starting running back? Is he an RB2? Are you putting him in there with confidence next week? Because Alfred Morris was back active. He touched the ball twice.
Yeah, I already said that. You know, you didn't get the receiving numbers out of him, but you got the volume, and they'll continue to have hand him the ball. They play Seattle again next week. Seattle might be a little stronger at linebacker, though, than they were when they last faced him. They do get Michael Kendricks back tonight, and that'll be interesting to see if it bolsters the running game, the run defense.
Fair enough. Is next year we're also spinning some of these tight ends forward. I've been telling you about Gronkowski and Cook and how the way I might treat tight end next year in drafts. Scott, is George Kittle a 5th round pick next year?
I think he goes earlier than that.
Really?
I think you should see him go as early as the 3rd round next year.
Am I correct that you would have it though as Kelsey, then Ertz, then Kittle?
Yeah. And I would say Kelsey could go as early as like the end of the first.
So like almost rounds 2, 3, 4 though. Sort of.
Yeah, right? I could see Ertz going in the second and Kittle third. In the third. But wouldn't shock me if he went earlier.
Wow.
Then I think.
And then there's a drop, right?
Ebron and Doyle. It's like with Doyle coming back, I think that hurts Ebron's outlook a little bit.
Sure, of course.
I think Gronk might be more of like a 4th, 5th round pick next year, maybe more of a 5th rounder, and Jared Cook like right in that area too.
Could I sell you on a returning Hunter Henry being in that group as well?
Certainly could, yeah.
Okay. I just didn't want to know, because to me, he's profiles in the right type of offense, you know, that would leverage the tight end. There was so
he's
many
coming
people.
Back from a major injury, though, and
sure.
You wonder how he's going to look after a year off. So
they're talking,
he's
though, that he
behind
could be back.
Those guys.
They're talking he could be back for the playoffs this year. For the Los Angeles Chargers. Keep an eye out on that. There's talk about potentially activating him, but we shall see.
Playing and how he looks are going to be two different things. You know,
absolutely.
He can come back for the playoffs for all we know and, you know, not look like fully like himself the following year.
But they also, you know, they gotta respect it at least defensively, right? If he's out on the field, you gotta scheme a little
sure,
bit to protect
right,
it.
Right now they don't have a tight end the defenses should respect. I mean, Antonio Gates has been invisible.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me ask you something. Me and Blewett all the time, we talk about like the quarterback merry-go-round for next year. You know how I think Flacco, you know, whatever, is going to be in Jacksonville. I think Andy Dalton might be in Washington, to be quite honest, because Jay Gruden had him in Cincinnati. We know about Tyrod and Teddy Bridgewater and the other names.
They say Dalton's not going anywhere. Those are the public reports are indicating.
Fair enough. I'm just talking about the merry-go-round because I want to, I want to throw another name in there. Scotty, how many years left do you think Matthew Stafford is the Detroit Lions quarterback?
I think for a while.
Yeah.
This
team is changing. This team is evolving. I don't know that Bob Cooter is going to be there next year.
It's very, very hard to find a quarterback of that quality. You know, Matthew Stafford's not a superstar.
Oh, no, but he's not a problem either.
But he's not – you're right. He's not a problem either. You know, it's – quarterback, again, I'd say it's so much. You know, what's really going to be on the carousel, because – you have to keep what you have in a lot of cases.
Do they draft like a third rounder?
I don't think the Bengals are going to find much better than Andy Dalton down on the free agent market, or unless they trade for somebody, they get somebody in the draft, and they still have to groom them.
Right.
The quarterback is very watered down in the NFL. There's maybe like 14, 15 guys that teams can feel completely comfortable with. After that, you know, everybody's got warts, or it's a crapshoot, or something. You know, injuries have you turned into Mark Sanchez,
right,
things like that. So why would the Detroit Lions, in their right mind as an organization, move on from Matthew Stafford? There's not anything better out there.
The reason I say this, and I'll evolve my point, I think you're right, Scotty, is they you're right, they may not be something better. But as you know, if you kind of stick with your guy a few years too long, it really sets the franchise back. That's what I'll say. And so maybe Cincinnati and Detroit, to be quite honest, maybe would you accept that they may be the kind of team that needs to, like, draft a third round quarterback this year and start that process? You know, I'd even put the Chargers in that group, although Philip Rivers has been performing amazing. But they're going to start to need to be grooming the heir apparent, I think, in Cincinnati and in Detroit.
I don't think so in Detroit. You know, Matthew Stafford's not that young. Look, this is Marshall Faulk says it's on Lineup Lock Live that it's a quarterback driven league, but this is also a team sport here. And you can't just change the quarterback, and that changes everything.
Yeah.
You got to surround Matthew Stafford. What does Matthew Stafford have? You know, he's got Kenny Golladay. Marvin Jones is done. Golden Tate is gone. He doesn't have a tight end he can depend on. Theo Riddick does nothing out of the backfield. Kerryon Johnson is injured. You can't blame the quarterback in Detroit. That's not the problem. In Cincinnati, too, you know, A.J. Green's getting hurt, etc. You know, this team is just not on Andy Dalton. I don't think Andy Dalton, neither one of these quarterbacks, especially Dalton, is a team. You look at them as Super Bowl type quarterbacks, but, you know, we've seen really good years from Matthew Stafford in the past. How much can you blame the quarterback? You can't just yank the quarterback and expect to change the environment. It's a team sport.
Yeah, he goes 15 to 23, 101 passing yards.
Playing with a bump shoulder, and he's got no receivers.
Yeah, talk to me about no receivers. Our guy, Scotty, Kenny Golladay, defecates the mattress. Only 2 catches for 5 yards, letting playoff owners down.
Yeah, in a big way. You know, he got shut down by Patrick Peterson. Yeah. You know, he's done good. He's done well against some other cover corners, but they're asking a lot of Golladay right now. He doesn't have any compliments or any help.
We'll talk about this a little bit more, and then we'll look at Monday Night Football when we come back. Scotty, Seahawks are in action. We'll talk about it after this.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99, or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The King, Scott Angle, and the spit statistician, Dane Martinez, taking you through Week 14, where people are win or go home for their fantasy playoffs. I also got to let people know, Scotty, that if you like to wager on sports, and I can only assume that if you're listening to the Fantasy Sports Network early on a Monday morning, that you do, then go on and head on over to BetDSI. They have wagering options for almost any sport you can think of, including sides, totals, player props. You can utilize your DFS skills without salary constraints. You can even wager on esports, politics, reality TV. I told you, Scotty, I know who's going to win Survivor if you want to know. Get an edge with live betting at BetDSI. You can wager virtually anytime during a contest, capitalizing on in-game circumstances. There are so many ways to make money. Use the promo code FNTSY101 when signing up, and get 100% deposit bonus match. Once you've opened up your account, go to DailyRoto.com, click on Contact Us, and send your BetDSI username. We will give you 1 month of DailyRoto access totally free. That's access to all sports, tools, and optimizers. So head on over and open your account at BetDSI. That's promo code FNTSY101. Get your 100% bonus deposit match and 1 month free of DailyRoto.com. All right, Scotty, here's what I want to ask you about. I'm sorry, but we're going to ask a little bit about my fantasy team. going into this, okay? As you know, Scotty, I had a big playoff matchup in the GST League facing our guy Jim Ross. And if you're looking at the standing, if you're looking at the score right now, I am down by literally half a point, 0.5. And if you remember, I was, you know, I was debating who to put in my flex spot last week. The options were Deion Lewis, who played on Thursday night. I didn't want to, you know, lock up my flex spot on a Thursday night. And then my other options were I was going to go either LeGarrette Blount, I was going to go either Allen Robinson, or I was going to go Doug Baldwin tonight. Doug Baldwin is a game-time decision, and on Monday night, I didn't want to play that game. So it came down for me to Allen Robinson or LeGarrette Blount. Allen Robinson, I was like, you know what? It's Mitchell Trubisky's first week back. He's going to have a lot of Aqib Talib. So I went with LeGarrette Blount, Scotty. Allen Robinson did outscore him by 2 points, which may ultimately really come back to bite me. And tomorrow morning, you'll certainly hear about it if that is the case. But I went with LeGarrette Blount, Scott. Zach Zenner may have completely screwed me. What is going on? I was my whole thing, Scott, was like, if the Detroit Lions get a 1 yard touchdown run, I'm in the money. I'm ready to go. That happened. But Zach Zenner gets 12 for 54 and a touchdown. LGBT rights defecates the mattress, 12 for 33 and nothing else, really.
Yeah, but I think we expected better out of him. You know, this Arizona defense would be getting torn up all season long.
What happened, Scott?
What happened? He didn't have a good game yesterday. He was running into brick walls. He was plodding. He looked like bad LeGarrette Blount yesterday.
I know. I was expecting the exact thing that Zach Zenner got me, you know, the 2 yard touchdown or whatever, and it may come to pass that it absolutely kills me. I say that, Scott, because the other thing I want to say, all right, so I'm going into a matchup here. It's Monday Night Football. So let's turn our attention to Monday Night Football here for a hot second, Scott. I am down to big fan of the show and longtime listener of this network, JR, Jim Ross. You guys know him. He's at 128.3. I'm at 127.8. Literally half a point separate us. Scott, he has the Seattle defense going tonight. I have Sebastian Janikowski, the kicker, going tonight. Projections, and I know that those don't really make sense because, quite frankly, you ever notice, Scott, how on all these projections for kickers and defenses, they still give you, like, fractional points where that's, like, impossible for kickers and defenses?
Yeah. Yeah, so, a lot of sites do that, though.
That doesn't help me.
Avoid a tie that way, yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't help me. So, like, listen, I'm down by 0.5, Scott. Janikowski here, at least, and I'm looking at CBS right now, is projected to get 8.3. Although we know that's not true. The Seahawks defense is projected to get 7.6. So in essence, these guys are both projecting, if you think about like the whole number, because that's what it has to be, they're projecting both of them to be at 7 or 8 or 9 in essence, and I need literally less than a point. I'm going to be my own game of inches all night, and because we're talking kickers and defenses, I'm going to have to watch it to the very last play of the game.
Yeah, I think so, but I'd rather have the kicker than the defense. Especially if this is going to be a high-scoring game, which I think it will be. I know Minnesota ranks defensively very well, and the metrics will say otherwise. But Seattle, especially Russell Wilson, always shows up for national television games. This is a very key game. I think you know this team's still going to be able to run the ball, and if not, I think Russell Wilson's going to be able to throw it. They're going to be able to out Trey Wayne's in the secondary here. The Seattle defense, you know, they're kind of middle of the road when it comes to sacks. They're better when it comes to interceptions. But Minnesota, you know, they don't allow a ton of sacks. You know, they've allowed 30 sacks. Seattle has 31 sacks, so it's kind of evens
middle of the
out.
Road.
Seattle has a dozen interceptions. Minnesota's only thrown 9. So this could be like a middling defensive kind of game. But if anything, where it's high scoring, I think what weighs in your favor is I think when we get to the red zone, I think things are going to kind of bunch up.
Tighten up.
Seattle doesn't have a big receiver that they can use in the red zone. You know, that's the one thing they're missing. You know, when they score in the passing game, it tends to be for like more often.
From away.
You know,
from away. It's from 45 yards away, right. It's
right.
DJ
not that they haven't scored in the red zone. We saw that last week against San Francisco, but this is a better defense.
But here's what
I think Janikowski, though, could get you probably about 9, 10 points tonight.
I think it's going to be real close.
I think the defense is probably going to be about a 7-point game.
Yeah.
But, you know, one defense, one, one, uh,
one play.
You can't predict, it's can't predict this. You know, you saw what Bobby Wagner did at end of the game last year. It's less likely to happen against Kirk Cousins, but I don't know about Kirk Cousins on the road in that environment. Look, he did win with Washington last year in Seattle, so he can do it. You know, that was nobody expected that to, so he's used to the environment, and those receivers are really going to challenge that secondary. You got Trey Flowers at one corner, who's like a converted safety, and he's made some nice plays. But I just feel like Stephon Diggs or Alan Thielen is really going to tear up that secondary, and the Seahawks are going to have to respond, and it's going to be a high scoring game, I think.
We shall see, Scotty. So you're saying it's going to be a high scoring,
moderately high scoring, like a 30 to 27 kind of game.
Oh, I was going to ask you because the over under right now, the total for this game is set at 45.5. What you just said, 30-27, that's like in the 50s. So you think it's going to be a higher scoring game? That would help my opponent. You know, the Seattle Seahawks maybe won't put forth a huge effort. Maybe there will be some kicks out of Janikowski. I'm telling you, though, Scott, I'm going to have to watch the very last play of the game because, like, what if there's one of these lateral things, you know, that just wind up in a fumble, you know? My opponent's going to get a random 2 points literally on the last play of the game or some crazy list
like
that.
Yeah, there's less predictability with the defense. That's the problem.
This game can end with a Janikowski 47-yard field goal to win it. You know what I mean? Like, literally, all options are open in this one. I'm literally down by half a point.
I've also seen Sebastian Janikowski get some key misses, too.
This is true. I think in GST, correct me if I'm wrong, we don't have that setting of, like, minus one if they miss an extra point or minus one if they miss a short one.
Sites don't, but then you still feel that's, like, a missed opportunity. You know, it's still gut-wrenching.
Absolutely.
Like, he's missed four field goals this year.
Right, but I don't stand to lose any points. Let's put it that way. You know what I mean? If he misses the extra point or misses, say,
but they go all the way down. You know, they drive all the way down and he doesn't get it. You know, that's kind of upsetting.
Oh, yes, trust me. Let's put it this way, Scotty. Tomorrow at 7:02 a.m., you will know how this one turned out for me. Big shout-out to my guy Jim Ross, JR, friend of the Fantasy Freestyle Stats Overbeat Cypher, friend of the network, has had a lot of fun with me about these matchups left and right. It is going to be nip and tuck. But let's not talk about just myself, Scotty. I mean, this is a huge NFC game. The winner of this game is going to be really set up in the 5 seed of the playoffs, right? Whoever wins this game will be the wild card, will be the number one wild card, because if Minnesota wins, they go to 7-5-1. Seattle would fall to 7-6. So the winner of this game is the 5 seed. Is the loser of this game, like the loser of this game, if it's Minnesota, is only half a game up. If Seattle loses this game at 7-6, they will also have Philly and Carolina on their tail. This is a huge game in the NFC wild card picture, Scott.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this determines seeding between 4 and 5 and also playoff comfort, because if Seattle wins, then I think they could be very comfortable with, you know, with
games. Yes, if Seattle wins, absolutely.
Against Arizona, San Francisco, and Kansas City. Whereas, you know, if they lose a game, I don't think they can be fully comfortable, because you can never tell what's going to happen in an individual game. They could lose at San Francisco. They could lose at Arizona. Yeah. You know, it's happened before. You know,
Division
people look
games.
At the schedule. They look at the schedule and they say, okay, the Seahawks fans are saying, oh, they'll be 2-1. You know, so we can beat Minnesota, they'll be 3-1. We can beat Arizona, we can beat San Francisco, maybe we'd lose to Kansas City. Some of them are saying they'll run the table. You know, they could beat Kansas City and lose to San Francisco.
You never know. That's why they played the game, Scotty. We got a huge one for NFC Wild Card, and obviously a huge one for your boy, the spitting statistician, AC Bass. Forget about anything I ever said bad about you, baby. Drain some 57-yarders today. We'll talk about it tomorrow. Have a great day, Scotty.